Hello, you're listening to CJLO News. Two Concordia journalism students have launched a one-of-a-kind website which helps student reporters better gain access to information from their universities. The Transparent University Project was started by Marique Glorios-Streichman, the editor-in-chief of the Concordia newspaper, and Aidan Rayner, an investigative reporter also at the Concordian. It's a website where people can generate and archive access to information requests.
Basically, the idea of the Transparent University Project is that we want to make the result of access to information requests freely available to any student who's interested in them.
An access to information request, or ATI, is a common tool for journalists, but anyone can use it. It is a formal request one can send to a public institution to ask for information that hasn't been published. You can ask for meeting minutes, budgets, contracts, even emails and Slack messages, so long as they don't contain private information. But writing them can be difficult. That's why Aidan Rayner learned to code and developed an ATI generator, which can be used to submit requests to over 100 institutions across Canada.
You don't have to put the full legal name. You can just put Concordia or, for Toronto Metropolitan University, just TMU or SFU for Simon Fraser. And you put in the name of institution and the information you're looking for and the time frame, and it'll generate one that is in the right language that you need it with the associated provincial jurisdiction for information law too, because that changes per province, and the full legal name of the institution, and it's formatted nicely and very clear. You have to put in a time frame, and your information will be there.
Marique Glorios-Streichman has been archiving the information ATIs get back on the website as well.
So what we did is that we're basically publishing all the ATIs we're filing on our own website, because basically once an access information request is released, that is public information. You can share it far and wide with everyone you know, and it's not a problem, right?
The students were inspired to create the project after an incident in 2023. The Concordian submitted a series of ATIs to Concordia for some projects they were working on, including information on increased tuition and data regarding international students. In return, they got a cease and desist letter from a lawyer, claiming they were using ATIs to harass and pressure the school.
On one side, I'm taking a class learning how to do access to information. On the other side, I'm getting a lawyer sent after me for doing access to information requests in the same institution, right? And so I think it was definitely really disappointing to have that reaction from Concordia.
The Concordian did not back down, and the claims were unfounded. They ended up getting most of the information they asked for. But the experience motivated them to help other student journalists understand their rights to information.
The thing for me is if universities are more transparent with their communities, and that is educators, staff members, and students, and prospective students as well, if they're more transparent to the community, there's a lot more trust.
The duo was hoping to see other campus papers from across the country use their new tool, and they hope to add more resources to it, even incorporating AI.
So the next step would probably hopefully be making it a little smarter with a small language model to be able to infer what type of information people are, or what types of files of information people are actually looking for.
For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
Honesty.
So many so few. 65, I was 17, and running
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Tommy John Show here on CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal. Man, it's been a while. We had a week off last week because of the snow. That was nuts here in Montreal. The amount of snow that fell on, was it Monday and Tuesday last week? It was crazy. Spent the last week, like most of you guys, shoveling and watching some unbelievable hockey. The Four Nations was last weekend. Canada are the champs. We will get into that and the huge success the Four Nations was and how that can affect other All-Star games and the other major sports leagues. We'll get into that. The NHL returned this weekend. Montreal with a huge win in Ottawa. A big performance by Slafkovsky. We will get into that. The NBA, the Celtics making a statement against the Knicks, the East heating up. We will get into that. But we quickly here have to get into this breaking news of Matt Stafford wanting north of $50 million a year and the Rams not wanting to go there. And now his agent has permission to seek a trade. This is unbelievable. And I did a little two-minute, three-minute rant on the Tommy John Show Instagram. If you don't know, we have an Instagram, we have a TikTok, all that. Give us a follow at the Tommy John Show. But from time to time, I post these little 2 to 3 minute reactions. And I was driving home, and I heard on the sports radio on ESPN, oh, Matt Stafford's agent, you know, has permission to go and seek a trade. Hold up. I had to quickly pull over, record this, because I could not believe what I was hearing. So it's not that the Rams don't want Matt Stafford. They're fine to have Matt Stafford. He's been great. He won him a Super Bowl, had a very good year this past year, almost beat the Eagles on the road where he was tremendous. He was great against the Vikings in the wild card round. Matt Stafford, at the age of 37, is still one of the elite quarterbacks in the National Football League. He is. In the biggest games, he plays extremely well. Now, he has had injury concerns in the past and has missed time due to injury. But let's be fair, when he is healthy, and he's been more healthier with the Rams than he was with Detroit, let's be honest, he's a game changer. An absolute game changer for the Rams. And I understand where the Rams are coming from. They have Sean McVay, who's a great coach. He did wonders with Baker Mayfield, made him a top free agent candidate to go to Tampa Bay, and he's played well there. He did wonders with Jared Goff. Look what he's done with Matt Stafford. And they have a young roster. Currently, they're trying to shed some cap space. They don't want Cooper Kupp. They're going to trade him. They don't want Matt Stafford at over $50 million a year at his age. So clearly they are looking to move in a younger direction. And the team is heading in a younger direction. Kyren Williams is young. Puka Nacua, young. The two rookies on defense, Jared Verse and Fisk. They're trending in a younger direction. And the Rams are right there in the NFC. They're right there with the Eagles. The week one, remember they played Detroit in overtime. The Rams, currently constructed with Matt Stafford as their quarterback, are right there in the NFC. So I kind of get, why the Rams don't want Stafford at $50 million for 3 more years. He's 37, and they feel like McVay can work some magic with other quarterbacks. Fair enough. But if I'm Matt Stafford, why in the world would I want to leave LA? Why would I want to leave the Rams? That makes zero sense to me. Zero. You want north of $50 million? Well, okay, that's fair enough. But you've made a fortune in your career. Think about the amount of contracts Matt Stafford has signed. Like, you remember all those years in Detroit when he was getting his brains beat in? We all remember that, right? But he was always one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league because the Lions knew what they had in Matt Stafford. He was producing on a terrible team. He was always admired by other teams. He's always been a top 10 quarterback in the league, and he was paid like one. I see here Matt Stafford career earnings, $364 million and $234 million guaranteed he has earned in his NFL career. So the reason I bring that up is Matt Stafford, who when he first got traded to the Rams, was known as a very good quarterback, not a Hall of Famer, but just a solid quarterback in this era. But since getting together with Sean McVay, he's put together a Hall of Fame stretch in L.A. You think about it. With the Lions, he has a couple of 5,000-yard seasons. He has a Super Bowl with the Rams. He's made the playoffs three times with the Rams. And they were, what, a play away from taking down the eventual Super Bowl champions on the road in a winter wonderland as a West Coast team, having to practice in Arizona because L.A.'s burning down. They were that close. That's how good of a coach Sean McVay is. That's how talented this young roster is. And you look at the NFC West, the Niners are old and rebuilding. Seattle have Geno Smith as their quarterback. And Arizona is kind of a no man's land. They're good, but they're not great. This is the Rams division next year if Matt Stafford's their quarterback. For sure. And here's another thing if you're Matt Stafford. If you take a pay cut, like Brady did, like Burrow's going to do, like Mahomes has done, you can get nice pieces around you. The Rams can be aggressive in free agency trying to get this team even better to compete with Philadelphia. You've made over $360 million, and you have a chance here if you sign just a lesser contract. I'm not saying get $15 million a year, but what's wrong with 30? Why not 2 years? $60 million or $62 million, all guaranteed. That's plenty. You've made a fortune. And with this stretch you have left in your career, you can make yourself a first ballot Hall of Famer. If Matt Stafford stays with the LA Rams, stays with Sean McVay, stays with this young roster that is getting better in a terrible division and a lesser conference, if you make a run to another Super Bowl or a couple of NFC Championship games, Matt Stafford, without question, will be a Hall of Famer. Look at his numbers. A couple of 5,000-yard seasons, has 40 touchdown seasons. He's a Super Bowl champion, was successful in two places. What are we doing here, Matt Stafford? You're going to go to the Giants, the Raiders, the Browns? To make what? A couple more million bucks? You've made a fortune. An absolute fortune. And you want to just make a couple more million bucks to play in a far worse situation. Giants, Browns, Raiders, Steelers. Okay. Or you can stay with Sean McVay. In L.A., warm climate, great weather. You already live there. Have a great relationship with the head coach. The team is ready to win now. You've made so much money. What are a couple extra million bucks going to do for Matt Stafford? But if he stays with the Rams, takes a bit of a pay cut, trusts their front office, which has done a great job, they'll be competitive for 2 to 3 more years. And if he plays well in this system or just continues to play the way he has in LA for the next 2 to 3 years, he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Without question. You want to go to the Giants? You want to go to the Browns? The Raiders? So I don't know what to say. When I heard that, I'm like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? He has a chance to finally be a Hall of Famer. When people mention Matt Stafford Hall of Fame, oh, give me a break. You know, he hasn't won anything. You know, he was good in Detroit. He has good stats, but he hasn't won. He hasn't played well in the playoffs. Since coming to LA, he's been an absolute gamer in the postseason. Even in the games he's lost. Remember how bad he got hit in that Detroit game last year? People thought he was concussed. He comes back in. He's throwing absolute strikes to Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. This year, in the snow, against the eventual Super Bowl champions who made the Chiefs and Mahomes look like they never played football before. and he was sensational. And they had a chance to win the game at the end, and if the rookie center doesn't miss his block, the Rams probably win that game. And then they would have had the Washington Commanders at home to get to the Super Bowl. But now, because we want to get paid $50 million a year, we want to go to the Giants or the Browns or the Raiders. Do me a favor. Even the Steelers. What are we doing? I like Mike Tomlin as a head coach, but what, you're going to have Arthur Smith? You're going to go from Sean McVay to Arthur Smith as your play caller. Really? Puka Nacua to George Pickens. Really? Kyren Williams or Najee Harris. Really? That offensive line. And think about the division. You go to Pittsburgh, you get Lamar Jackson and the Ravens twice. You get Joe Burrow and the Bengals twice. You're in a conference with Mahomes, with Josh Allen. It makes no sense. In the NFC, Philadelphia, obviously, they're the world champs. Who else? The Lions are good. Packers. Washington, maybe. I mean, Daniels was great as a rookie. He's probably going to be as good again, but like, who knows? We've all heard of the sophomore slump. We don't know what the Commanders are going to be next year. But I do know one thing. If Matt Stafford re-signs with the Rams, takes a pay cut, and they can improve the roster even more, they will be right there with Philadelphia. No, absolutely no doubt in my mind. They were right there with them this year, on the road, in snowy conditions, as a West Coast team who wasn't able to practice at their home facility. I just don't understand it. He is 2 to 3 years away with the Rams to being a Hall of Famer. You know why? Sean McVay is going to get the best out of him, and they're going to be at least in the NFC divisional round for the next 2 to 3 years. You're going to win one or two of those games. That's another one or two NFC championship games most likely Matt Stafford will be in. I just don't understand it. He's made so much money, and you're going to just go to New York, an absolute dumpster fire. The Raiders. I know Brady's there now, and Pete Carroll's there now. It's just that. No, I'm not leaving L.A. and Sean McVay for the Raiders to play the Chiefs twice a year, to play now the Harbaugh Chargers twice a year, and Sean Payton's playoff Broncos twice a year. I'm not doing it. To make a couple more million bucks. You've made north of $360 million, Matt Stafford. Stay in L.A. Take a bit of a pay cut. Not asking him to take $10 million a year, people. They just take 30. 32. $50 million. Oh, no, sorry, the Rams can't do it. Okay, fair enough. I'll take less. I want to stay in L.A. That's what he should say. I want to stay in L.A. Now, if you're the Rams, there's a bunch of other options. I understand. I heard they don't mind Aaron Rodgers coming there. They don't mind having Jimmy Garoppolo as a bridge. If they trade Matt Stafford to the Giants, maybe they get the third overall pick, Cam Moore, Chador Sanders. Okay, there's options for the Rams, and I trust Sean McVay. But if I'm Matt Stafford, for the 100th time, I'm going to say it again, it makes zero sense to me for your legacy. Makes zero sense. I just can't believe he would leave. For a couple million bucks. I don't understand it. You think for Matt Stafford, who started his career just in the worst situation possible in Detroit, being by himself, getting beat up, had nothing but Calvin Johnson for 10 plus years. You think he would never want to go to a bad situation ever again. You'd like to think that. Now he's finally in a great location, Hall of Fame head coach, great weather, not in Detroit anymore, have a number one receiver, number one running back, I've made a fortune, and I am on one of the best five teams in the NFL. I just don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get it. And I there's just an anger towards this for him, because I like him so much, Matt Stafford, as a quarterback. He never complained in Detroit. always showed up. When he was healthy, he played, and they didn't win a lot. But he helped turn a bit of the franchise around. They made the playoffs a few times. Everyone knew how good he was. He goes to LA, new environment. Everyone's rooting for him, and he wins a Super Bowl. And now, in the years since, you know, the roster got older, they weren't expected to do much, and they still go on playoff runs, compete with the very best in the conference, and he always plays well. Everyone loves Matt Stafford. So I want him to make the right decision. And the right decision is just take a bit of a pay cut and stay with the Rams. I just don't understand why he would leave. I don't. I really don't. Him leaving to go to the Giants? It makes no sense. I don't want him to do it. I don't. Don't leave, Matt. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. For a couple million bucks? The Rams could easily be in a Super Bowl next year. Easily, if he stays. Yeah, the Eagles are the favorites, but they were right there with them. And their division's far easier. San Francisco's old. Arizona, no man's land. Geno Smith in Seattle. This is your division. You're an 11-12 win football team next year. And imagine if he takes a pay cut. They can go out and get some more talent. There's a T. Higgins on the market. There's a good offensive line prospects on the market. Matt Judon, Carlton Davis. There's free agents on defense. I just don't understand it. I don't. We're going to a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Four Nations and that crazy opening weekend of the NHL again. It started up on Saturday. You had Ovi scoring a hat trick, and the Capitals just destroying Edmonton and Pittsburgh this weekend, making a statement. Ovi's now, what, 13 away? He's going to catch Gretzky. It's just a matter of if it's this year or next year, but he's going to catch him. He is 13 goals away, which is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So we will get into that, and we will also talk about some of the big NBA storylines we had this weekend. The Celtics made a statement over the Knicks, and Luka Doncic and LeBron James put on a clinic against Denver over the weekend. We will get into all of that over the next half hour here on the Tommy John Show. Do not go away.
Production Nuit d'Afrique invites you to discover new talent with its World Music Showcase, the 18th edition of Cité d'Or dans la musique du monde. Come discover 36 acts every Tuesday and Wednesday at Club Balatou until April 9th. Take part in the free showcase concerts and vote for your favorite artist. More info on Célidor.com, Facebook, and Instagram.
Our talks about movies always start out with the best of intentions. Opinions are shared, debates develop. But then things get heated, words get said. Friendships are tested, disagreements break out. This is when the smackdown happens. Join us for our next epic grudge match, Sundays at 2 p.m., Cinema Smackdown, right here on CJLO 1690 AM.
Back here in the Tommy John Show. So what a tournament that was, the Four Nations. We didn't really get to cover it in depth because we had no show last week, but what a tournament and what a success that was for the National Hockey League. It did monster numbers, obviously in Canada, but on TNT and on ABC and ESPN, monster numbers. Monster, monster, and monster numbers. Over 10 million people watched the final on Thursday. And what a game that was, back and forth. you know, McKinnon scores early, then you have Tkachuk, and then was it Sanderson after that? And then, oh man, Sam Bennett, what a goal. And a little passing of the torch moment in overtime. Crosby 15 years ago in overtime. 3-2 win for Canada over the U.S. Then we fast forward to Thursday. Connor McDavid, the player of his generation. 3-2 overtime winner against the U.S. It was perfect. Great hockey game. And now the NHL has a ton of momentum now heading into the second half of the year. Like, let's be honest, this final stretch here, the rating should be good because I've seen the comments on social media pages, whether it's Instagram, TikTok, Reddit, people are like, hey, hockey made me a fan. That was so entertaining. And the game on Saturday night last weekend in Montreal when you had the three fights in 9 seconds, the big hits by McAvoy, it was awesome. And people who haven't seen hockey before or haven't been exposed to hockey before see that. And then they compare it to what the hell's been going on in the NBA the last few weeks. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. So this was a great, great stretch for the NHL. And hopefully they continue this momentum the rest of the way. What a weekend, though, in the NHL. And if you look at the standings, yes, the Torontos and Floridas and Tampas are leading the way. But after that, you know, you got to watch out for Detroit. 8-1-1 in their last 10. Patrick Kane was just, that was filthy in overtime. Filthy. So they're in a very good spot. They're right there. And then you kind of get to the next bunch, which is the teams fighting for that last wild card spot in the Atlantic. And not to mention, those teams are going up against metropolitan teams as well. You have Ottawa, Boston, Montreal. And Montreal had a huge win on Saturday against Ottawa, 5-2. Brendan Gallagher looked like the Gallagher of old. You had just an absolute snipe from Patrick Laine on the power play. And Juraj Slafkovský finally used his size, and he played physical, and he looked great. He's a big, big kid. And he made himself a factor. And he played like a Tkachuk brother, which I think he mentioned earlier in the week. He played great. The Canadians played great. But what's going to be interesting is if the Canadians kind of turn the corner here and start playing well like they did around the holidays, is what they're going to do with the deadline. Now, if you're me, don't rush the rebuild at all. Even if you go in, you get a Rantanen or someone, I don't know, you're not going to win the cup, let's be honest. So if you're Montreal, just say, you know what? This is great. Our young prospects are blossoming. But we're going to just chill out here. We're going to trust the process. We got Demidov coming. Wait till Reinbacher's up and healthy. And he gets some games played. And next year, we should make another big jump. 2 years from now, we are really ready to roll. And credit Montreal. You know, they could have easily abandoned what has happened. Try and make a big trade too aggressive. No, they have trusted what they are doing. And I respect it. I've seen teams do a rebuild and they get a little bit of, get a little hot, and then they try and think, you know what, we're right there, and they go for it, and it backfires. One team, you know, Detroit. It finally took Detroit till now. Remember, they're loading up with Mo Sider and Lucas Raymond and all these young Dylan Larkin, all these young guys. The next thing you know, they think they're there. They bring in a Patrick Kane. They bring in other people. Okay. Didn't work for them last year, but this year they're right there. Montreal is just trusting the process. We are not going to force anything. We're still probably going to trade some key pieces at the deadline. I assume Savard's going to go. Dvorak, guys like that. Maybe Josh Anderson. I don't know. But that's really where Montreal's at. If you can play great, great. But we're not going to rush this rebuild to possibly just make the playoffs and get bounced in the first round by Toronto or Florida. That's not wise. It's not. If you look at Montreal's schedule coming up, Carolina, that's a big one tomorrow at home. Then they should win some games coming up. These three games they should win after the Carolina game. San Jose at home, and then a home and away, or an away and a home, sorry, with Buffalo. Like, you dream of playing the Sabres. You dream of playing the Sharks. And I know the Sabres beat the brakes off the Rangers this weekend, and they've won, what, a few in a row now? Well, they won one in a row, sorry. But before that, they won a few in a row. They hammered Boston before the break. They beat Nashville, beat New Jersey, they beat Columbus. So yeah, they've put together some a decent run, 6-4 in their last 10, but they're not a great hockey team. So if you're Montreal and you're trying to climb up that leaderboard, try and climb up the standings, those three games are huge. San Jose, who are just dreadful, lost 5 in a row. The worst team in the NHL. You have to win that game, and then you got to win those two against Buffalo. If you do that, you're right in the mix. And my beloved Bruins are really just shocking right now. That's three losses in a row. They lost the two before the break to the Rangers and Vegas, and then losing in overtime to Anaheim is just brutal. They were down 2-0. They came back, forced overtime in the last minute. But then to lose in overtime, that was a big drop point. And it was a big point to get something. But they if they could have gotten 2 points, they're tied with Ottawa. They're still, 2 points back of Detroit. Now you're 3 points back. There's a lot of hockey left to be played, but it's go time for the Bruins now. It is absolute go time. And losing McAvoy is just a huge loss. As great as the Four Nations was, I feel for teams like Vegas, like Boston, who lose two of their key players, Shea Theodore out for Vegas, and McAvoy out for the Bruins. Speaking of just red-hot teams, the Washington Capitals, just two, what would you want to call it, ungodly, just unreal performances? Insane what they did this weekend. They play Pittsburgh on Saturday afternoon, 8-3. They hammer Pittsburgh. Then they head home. They get the Oilers and McDavid and Draisaitl 7-3 and an Ovechkin hat trick. And now he is 13 goals. Yes, 13 goals away to catch Wayne Gretzky, which is pretty remarkable. I didn't think he was going to get him this year just because I looked at his ages. I'm like, oh, it's probably midway through next year he'll get him. He has been unreal this year. And credit the Washington Capitals. What a job they have done. Seriously, look at the players they've added. Chychrun's done fantastic job. I'm not the biggest Dubois fan, but he helps in the middle of the ice. Dylan Strome's been a remember, he was a third overall pick. People thought, oh, you know, he's good, but he's not worth the third overall pick. He has blossomed into a fantastic hockey player. He's 58 points, 57 games. He's going to be an 85-point player this year. And then they have, the young guy, the Belarus guy, Protas, he's been awesome. Tom Wilson, McMichael, Chychrun, Radish has been good. There's not a lot of huge names on the team besides, Ovechkin's still there and John Carlson's still there. But the team's really, really good. And Logan Thompson, who could be Canada's number one goalie next year, we'll see. Him or Binnington for the Olympics, he's been awesome. So do I have the Capitals winning the cup? No, but they are going to be right there to win the President's Trophy. And if they can get home ice, look out, because that's a tough environment to play in. Great crowd. They draw well. Washington is a very, very scary team right now. The one story, though, I'm really shocked by is how Mikko Rantanen might get dealt again. Because over the break, his agent was meeting with Carolina's front office. They made an offer. And he's like, I'm not focused on that now. And if he doesn't like Carolina, and Carolina gave up, Nikas and all these other players to get him to hopefully ink an extension, they don't think they're going to get it done. They, and then damn right they're going to trade him and get something for him. It'd be crazy. And Elliot Friedman said on the broadcast Saturday, it's very possible he can get traded. This is what he said over the weekend. He said Elliot Friedman said that The Hurricanes weren't able to extend Rantanen. They may look at trading him. If that were to happen, the Hurricanes could retain another 50% of his salary, which would bring his cap hit down to $2.3 million for the rest of the season. Interesting. It's just that that's a really weird situation. You've always heard of team like last year, Elias Lindholm. Remember, he got traded from Calgary to Vancouver. Then he wasn't gelling in Vancouver around this time last year. And I'm like, oh, well, they trade him to Boston before the deadline. They need a centerman. He's not fitting well. And then I think the proposed trade was like, oh, DeBrusk was in it. And then it's funny enough, DeBrusk and free agency goes to Vancouver. Lindholm goes to Boston. It's just very funny how that worked out. But it's a similar situation. I don't know if it happens. Carolina's offer was for sure over $10 million a year, maybe 11. I'm not sure on that. But Rantanen's going to have to make a decision. And Carolina's going to want a decision soon. If you don't want to sign here, let us know and we're going to trade you. And we're going to get something for you, whether it's prospects, some draft picks, serviceable player. We want to get this deal done. Either you sign here or we trade you. I just don't remember the last time. Maybe my memory shot. I just don't remember the last time a player got, a big player like this was traded early in the year in hopes of signing an extension, not coming to an agreement, and then they trade him right before the deadline to get something for him. I don't remember. I genuinely don't remember. This is such a wild situation. He's a very good hockey player, but trust me, I bet he misses playing with Nathan MacKinnon right now. Oh, man. Crazy. Crazy situation out in Carolina. Other teams look out for New Jersey, and how about the Columbus Blue Jackets? Zach Werenski, watching him at the Four Nations. I don't get to watch the Blue Jackets a lot. He is a phenomenal hockey player. Phenomenal. Just awesome to watch. I know people mentioned Makar and Hughes and Heiskanen. Werenski's right there as great defenseman in the NHL. The Blue Jackets aren't a loaded roster to begin with. For them to be in this position in the playoff hunt and him being an over point per game player on defense is just remarkable. He's sensational. And I'm happy the hockey world got to see how good he is, because not a lot of people, unless you live in Ohio, watch the Blue Jackets play nightly. He put on a show at the Four Nations. And who else did? Speaking of Carolina earlier, Slavin's unbelievable. God, he was unbelievable. Him and Brock Faber were just monsters doing everything for their teams. Everything. What a hockey player he is. Both of them. Brock Faber, man. Minnesota's got one there. He's young. He can skate like the wind. That was a phenomenal defensive pairing at the Four Nations. And they'll, trust me, they will be paired again at the Olympics in Italy 1 year from now. That is for sure. We'll quickly look at the Western Conference. The Winnipeg Jets, 83 points, leading the way. They have won 9 in a row. 9. They're 9-1 in their last 10. They are cruising atop of the Central. The Dallas Stars in second. They've won 3 in a row. They have 76 points. Minnesota Wild, 72 points. Then it did a bit of a drop-off. Colorado was 68. Utah, a huge drop-off to 59. So those are going to be your three for sure playoff teams are going to be Winnipeg, Dallas, Minnesota. And then you'd like to think Colorado is going to get one of those wild card spots. Like that. That's this new. I know we've had this wild card format forever now, but I just wish we all just had one big conference. Top 8 seeds, 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5. It's just so much better that way. But those four teams are going to make the playoffs. Whether it's Colorado or Minnesota is going to be the 3 seed, that we will see what happens there. But they are just, it's those four teams in the Central, and then it's Vegas, Edmonton, LA in the Pacific. And Vancouver and Calgary are going to fight for that wild card spot. And that's pretty much what's going down. That's the West. The West, you have some good teams, and then you have the San Jose's, the Chicago's, the Nashville's, the Seattle's. But I will say this, Shane Wright's playing well for Seattle. Not too many people know that. He's playing far better. He had a goal yesterday. He had two assists over the weekend. He's turning into a very nice player. And remember, he could have been a Montreal Canadian. They picked Slafkovský, who played great over the weekend. Okay. Slafkovský's just played, I don't know how many more games. He's played all the time since being drafted. Shane Wright, he played in the OHL 1 year. He was in the AHL. Now he's finally up in the NHL, and he's playing pretty darn well. He is. We have to give him credit. We do. He's really, really turning into a nice player. And I remember him being a two-way guy in the OHL with Kingston. He's just really turning into a nice player. But the problem is, when you look at teams like Seattle and teams like Utah, they're just, I don't see really a future for them. Like Utah, they have cap space, I guess, but I don't know how many people want to go live in Utah. And Seattle, same deal. You have your young players, you have Beniers, you have Shane Wright. I like Decord and Net. So you have some pieces there, but I expected a hell of a lot more from Seattle this year than what they've done. I have. Bit disappointing. Quickly over to the NBA. What a weekend that was in the National Basketball Association. And I know the NBA is getting killed in the ratings, and people are just lashing out at the NBA. And I agree. It's been just a disaster this year. But now we're starting to see some good basketball, which I've been dying for. The big markets are good. Boston's good. New York's good. LA's good. The Rockets are good. It's interesting. But the one team we're going to talk about right now quickly is the New York Knicks. And as fun as they are to watch, and Karl Anthony Towns has been awesome this year, and Jalen Brunson's been awesome this year, they have the former Raptor and Ananobi. They traded everything to get Bridges in there. They're a fun team to watch. But let's be honest, every time they play Oklahoma City, Boston, or Cleveland, they lose. And they don't just lose, they get killed. They got killed Saturday night, or was that Sunday night? They got killed against the Celtics. Friday, they got destroyed by the Cavs, 142-105. And then they played the Celtics a few weeks ago. In early February, they got destroyed, 131-104. Just every time they play, I think they're 0-7 against the three best teams in the league, and they're getting blown out by around 20 points a game. That's unacceptable. And I had to hear, the Celtics are kind of going through the motions. We should be worried as a Celtics fan. No. When they play the good teams, they show up, and they do. Same with the Cavs. Same with Oklahoma City. When they play the cream of the crop, they show up and play. But I'm worried for the Knicks come playoff time, because Thibodeau, as great as a coach as he is, he's going to run these players into the ground. Look at the minutes these guys are playing. This is on Friday, I believe, or Thursday. They played the Bulls, who stink. Goes to overtime. You have Precious Achiuwa playing 46 minutes. Mikal Bridges, 44 minutes. Karl Anthony Towns, 43 minutes. McBride, 42 minutes. Jalen Brunson, 38 minutes. These are your starters on a Thursday night in Chicago. You're firmly one of the top four seeds in the Eastern Conference. Why are they playing 40 minutes a night? And I know there's the whole load management thing, and that's why people are killing the NBA. The Knicks don't do that. Their starters play probably too much. This is yesterday against the Celtics. 40 minutes for Josh Hart. 35 minutes for Ananobi. 41 minutes for Karl Anthony Towns. 38 minutes for Brunson. 28 minutes for Bridges. 27 minutes for McBride. What's going on? And it's okay that they play a lot, but come playoff time, they are going to be gassed. We're in mid-February. Mid to late February, your player should not be playing 40 minutes every single night. It's going to kill them. And I respect the hustle they show. They show up and play the Knicks players. They love playing for Thibodeau. But I want the Knicks to be there. As a Celtics fan, I want to play the Knicks in the playoffs. And I want a good series. I don't want them to be gassed and we sweep them in four games. If I was the Knicks head coach, if I was Tom Thibodeau, I'd say, hey, we're going to play hard against the big teams, but there's some nights when you have Orlando at home or Charlotte, when your big boys don't have to play 40 minutes. They can take a bit of a breather. That's going to kill them. Trust me, that will kill the New York Knicks come postseason time. They're just gassed. Josh Hart yesterday, watching a bit of that basketball game, he is just exhausted. So that's a big concern. If they can limit the minutes down the stretch, give Cat and Brunson and Bridges a bit of a break, I would strongly advise them to do that. You look at the Eastern Conference, still Cleveland, 6-game lead. They've won 7 in a row. They are 47-10. The Celtics at second place, the Knicks in third, and then there's a gap, Indiana and Milwaukee fighting for that fourth spot. They're right around 14 games back. The big surprise this year has been the Pistons. Look at them. Cade Cunningham, fantastic. 6 wins in a row for the Pistons. When's the last time you heard that? When's the last time you heard that? The Philadelphia 76ers, that is a terrible situation. Paul George is just awful this year. When he plays, he's awful. And Embiid's injured all the time. It's a disaster. They've lost 7 in a row. They are 1-9. 1-9 in their last 10. Brutal. The Raptors sit in 13th place. They're out of it. The Hornets and the Wizards should just play in the G League. They are just awful. Oklahoma City, 9.5-point lead, game lead on the Grizzlies and Nuggets. They are rolling 46-10. They've won 2 in a row. They are 9-1 in their last 10. And Canadian SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the betting favorite to win MVP. He's been awesome. Quickly go through the rest of the West. The Grizzlies, like we mentioned, and the Nuggets, both 9.5 games back. Look at the LA Lakers all of a sudden. 8-2 in their last 10, and Luka Doncic really looked like himself, finally. It took a few weeks. He hadn't played in a while, new team. He was awesome on Saturday night. 32-10-7. Not to mention Austin Reeves is putting up a great year. 23-4-7 for him. And LeBron James, he's just aging like fine wine. He had 25 points, 9 rebounds in the win. The Lakers are scary, man. You don't want to come up against the Lakers in the playoffs. You don't. To think you can have LeBron and Luka, two of the smartest guys, two of the highest basketball IQ players in the world on your team, it's just a scary sight. And people have been worried about the defense. The Lakers' defense has been pretty good. J.J. Redick's doing an awesome job. The Lakers play hard every single night, which some NBA teams don't. And they're not getting killed in the minutes. They're spacing it out nicely. Austin Reeves plays a bunch. Then if he plays a bunch, they'll rest him next night. Then Rui Hachimura will be more of the focal point. Then they'll, you know, then obviously LeBron, he's at 40. He plays, but some nights he takes it easy. They're just a really well-balanced team. Really well-balanced team. And they're right there in the West. They're right there battling for that top 4 seed. Them in Houston right there at the 4-5 seed. So the NBA's heating up, which is finally nice to see. They need it. They need it. They have been getting killed in the ratings. The All-Star game was dreadful. And the NHL are killing them in the ratings. That Four Nations face-off, I mean, that is going to do wonders for the NHL, trust me. People are tired of the NBA, players sitting. It's going to do wonders, trust me. We have to get into a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk a bit about Matt Stafford some more, and Shedeur Sanders falling down people's draft boards. We will get into all of it next here on the Tommy John Show. Do not go away.
Hi, I'm Sydney Sheedy.
And I'm Piper Curtis.
We are the producers of Discordia, a 10-part audio docuseries for CJLO 1690 AM, funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada Radio Meters Program.
Tune in on Monday, February 24th at 6 p.m. for the 6th episode of Discordia, where we look at student organization against sexual assault allegations dovetailing with the Me Too movement and how they were handled by the university.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
You've already pretended to be a Costigan from South Boston.
Every weekend, Sergeant.
And have the iconic sons of cinema? Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM with your host, Remy.
Don't laugh! This ain't reality TV!
Back here in the Tommy John Show. So the reason I just wanted to bring up Matt Stafford again, a new report just came out. The Giants showing heavy interest in Matt Stafford and would pay him the money he wants. Listen, you know, it makes sense for the Giants. You need a quarterback. It's not a great class. Remember, they went all in last year trying to get the third overall pick from the Patriots to get Drake May. Same with the Vikings. Those were the two teams going for that pick. The Patriots wisely stood there and picked him. And Daniel Jones was just awful. They cut ties. And then you have Tommy DeVito playing. It was just a mess in New York. So I understand when you have a quarterback like Matt Stafford who's won a Super Bowl, I understand teams wanting Matt Stafford. What I just don't understand is why Matt Stafford, over a couple million dollars, after he's made over $300 million, would want to leave a great situation in L.A. That was my point. And I don't blame the Giants going after him. I don't blame the Raiders going after him. I don't blame the Steelers. If you ask me, would I rather have Matt Stafford or Aaron Rodgers next year? That's not even a discussion. Give me Matt Stafford. That's not even a question. I still think Aaron has some good ball left in him. Don't get me wrong. But he is nowhere near the quarterback he was a few years ago. Nowhere near. So Shedeur Sanders won't throw at the combine. And if you guys don't know, the NFL combines this week, we have the every major prospect gets invited. But it used to be people would do the drills at the combine, would throw at the combine, would do the at least the 40-yard dash stuff. Now people just kind of show up, do their interviews, and then bail. They focus more on their pro day, throwing to the receivers they know, rather than me being at the combine, throwing to these receivers I have no rapport with, and letting that determine where I go in the draft. Now, the combine's still useful. It's more for the other skill position players, receivers, running backs. Like you see, Xavier Worthy, he shot up people's draft boards once they saw him break the 40-yard dash record. It's good for offensive linemen. Like Will Campbell, this is a huge weekend for him. Because if his arm length is long enough, then he's going to be a top five pick. If they show that his arms are shorter than tackle average, then he's going to fall down people's draft boards. Because he's going to be a great player. It's going to be a guard, though, if his arms are too short. There's nothing wrong with being a great guard. You're going to make some money in this league. A lot of money. But you're not taking a guard fourth, fifth overall. You're just not doing it. If his arm length's good enough, then the Patriots are going to want to take him. Then the Jags, if he falls, are going to want to take him in the top five. If his arms are short, oh boy. And that's all I've been hearing the entire draft process. Will Campbell's a top five pick if his arms are long enough. Because we think he has short arms. And other positions, I'd laugh, but like, give me a break. Like the Joe Burrow is hand size. Give me a break. He'll be just fine. A tackle having short arms is a problem. That is a problem. His footwork's unbelievable. His size is great. He's played the best competition in the SEC. He's a starter since day one at left tackle at LSU. He's going to be a stud. If the arms are short, though, I don't want him at fourth overall as a Patriots fan. I don't. Call me crazy. So, again, we have to get on the Shedeur Sanders not throwing. And he was going to be, I think, the quarterback one taken halfway through this collegiate season. But since that bowl game against BYU, he is not even being discussed as the number one quarterback anymore. It's Cam Ward. It's all Cam Ward. Teams, it's Cam Ward, Cam Ward, Cam Ward. Which, you know what team this benefits greatly? Tom Brady and the Raiders. Tom Brady and the Raiders. It fits them perfectly. Because they need a quarterback. Now, if they get Matt Stafford, fair enough. But they need a quarterback. And Shador knows Tom Brady, has a rapport. Remember, there's that clip of the Raiders owner, Mark Davis, talking with Shador at one of the basketball games. Like, so it's there's a rapport there. And if you ask Shador, he'd probably want to go to the Raiders. Great organization. He gets to live in Las Vegas, not too far from where his dad lives in Colorado. You know, it's a good spot for him. Pete Carroll's a great coach. Then they hire Chip Kelly as the OC. So they're starting to turn things around there. They have maybe the best tight end in the league already in Brock Bowers, who's an all-pro as a rookie. But it looks like Cam Moore is going to be a top three pick, whether it's Cleveland or the Giants or Tennessee. Cam Moore is going to be a top three pick. Then we get to the Shador Sanders situation. And if you're the Raiders, there's absolutely nothing stopping you from trading. You don't have to give up a future first. You're at six, and it's not a great draft class. You give up a two or two twos, you can go from six to four, and guaranteed you get Shador Sanders. So the Raiders are in a very good spot to get a quarterback next year. Whether it's Sam Darnold, I know that's not a sexy name to list, but he's been a good player in this league. Whether you want to do the Matt Stafford situation or if you want your guy in Shador Sanders, I think they're going to get him. I really do. Sure, they have other needs on the roster, but it's not even close. They need a quarterback. They need one. And I like Shador Sanders. I've watched a ton of Colorado. I don't think I've missed a Colorado snap the last 2 years since Deion has become the head coach. And I like what I have seen from Shador in college. He's decisive. He gets the ball out fast. He's a pocket passer, which I like. And he can use his legs, but he's always looking to throw, which I like. I just need to see where he goes to judge if he'll be successful. And I think he can do good things with the Raiders. I do. I trust Pete Carroll. They got a new GM who's going to try and build out this roster. I really think he falls to the Raiders. I do. And I'd be stunned if they don't take him. Stunned. If I were to guess right now, I say, I would say, this is my prediction, Matt Stafford will come to his senses, take a bit less, stay with the Rams. That's what I think will happen. Or he goes to Pittsburgh. Next thing I think is going to happen, first overall, the Titans are going to take Travis Hunter. Browns are going to take Abdul Carter. The Giants are going to take Cam Ward. The Patriots are sitting there at four. And this is where it gets dicey, because they might be phoning teams who want to move up and take a quarterback. It could be the Raiders. Could be another team looking to jump in and take a quarterback. So there's some options there. But let's say no one trades. The Patriots are going to take either Will Campbell, if his arms are long enough, or Mason Graham to tackle. And you know the Jaguars aren't taking a quarterback at five. They have Trevor Lawrence. And then it's the Raiders. So if the Raiders are really worried, they can move up to five, make sure they get him, move up to four, make sure they get him. But the top three picks in this draft are going to be Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, probably Cam Ward. Because one of those teams is going to take a quarterback, and the other team is going to take the two best players on the board, which is Travis Hunter, the Heisman winner, two-way superstar from Colorado, and Abdul Carter, the star pass rusher from Penn State. Maybe Mason Graham creeps in there, but I think Mason Graham's going to fall to four or five. New England or Jacksonville will take him, and I think Will Campbell goes to the other location. This is just me sitting here on February the 24th, 2 months away from the NFL draft, predicting what's going to happen. I think Shador Sanders ends up being a Raider. Matt Stafford, I think I just think he's going to stay with the Rams. This is me right now. But if he doesn't, I don't see him going to the Raiders. I see him going to the Giants or the Steelers. That's where I'd see him going. Great show this week. We are back next Monday. We'll talk more NHL. And maybe we have some more news in the National Football League, because we are getting closer and closer to free agency. I am Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next Monday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, right here on CJLO 1690 a.m. Thank you guys so much, and we'll speak to you next week.